We have been studying the book of Hebrews, and there's a great deal that we still have to look at and to cover. We have today the portion in chapter 12, starting at verse 12, although I plan to start a little earlier than that, and carrying through the remainder of the chapter. The book of Hebrews, you recall from the many that have been before me, was written primarily to the Jewish Christians. And today's portion is similar, and it has a great deal to do with the early Christians and their lives and how they should conduct their lives before the Lord. But I believe that there is also some portions here that would speak to us in this current day. And even though we may not have a strong background in Judaism or in the Old Testament Christianity, there are some portions here that I think we can learn from. I'm going to go back a little bit. You recall that last week our brother Quincy read the first verses of chapter 12. And looking at the first verse, he said, "Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." I'm sure that that was written as a transition from chapter 11 to chapter 12, where he talked about, the writer spoke about those that had proceeded in the Old Testament through lives of faith, and how that they had in their actions and in their lives fulfilled God's purposes and done a great number of things for God himself. But we also have the earlier portions of the book of Hebrews itself, and yes, the entire Word of God, that is a witness to us that we should learn from them. And he goes on to say, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So, regardless of whether this was written primarily for the Old Testament or for the Jewish Christians, I think there are some things that we can learn concerning our race, concerning our lives, concerning what God would have us to do or not do, as the case may be. And it is set before us. It is what God expects of us. Go over, then, as you recall, going on down through the chapter, and I'm not going to take time to go through it all again or reiterate Quincy's message of last week, but going on down through, we read that there is chastening that God brings to his own people, that God has chastening, just like a father has chastening to his children or to his son. Now, we don't like to think of that in general. We don't like to think of being chastened. A child don't like it typically when you correct them and tell them not to do something or in some other way try to correct their actions and their activities. And as he says in verse 11, Now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In God's case, that is true. Absolutely. In man's case, maybe perhaps sometimes the chastening we might do is not always that pure or that righteous. But in God's case, His chastening is to bring out the best in us, to bring us to do what He wants us to do, to bring us to practice what He has taught us to practice. Wherefore, he says in verse 12, and beginning the portion then that we have before us today, lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make the straight path for your feet. You know, when we are chastened, there's many ways that God brings chastening into our lives. Sometimes it's through illness. Sometimes it's through other activities. Sometimes it's speaking to us directly. But the writer of the Hebrews here says in this portion, lift up your hands which hang down. Oftentimes when we are chastened, we get a little bit heavy, and our arms get a little bit heavy, and our activity gets a little bit heavy. But I believe God nevertheless can bring these things upon us. Sometimes our arms say, Lord, why are you doing this? Lord, why are you bringing this into my life? Lord, do I really have to go through all of this, or is there some other way? And so it is that we don't always appreciate, and our arms hang down from the chastening that God may bring into our lives. As many of you know, in various lives here in the assembly, in my own life and others' lives, there are times when God brings illness, or God may bring some circumstance into our lives that we want to avoid, and our arms hang down. We want to avoid it, okay. We don't even want to avoid the chastening if we can. And so our arms hang down. And the feeble knees. I recently have had some problems with my legs, as most of you, or many of you know. And that has brought very substantial difficulty with my legs, because I couldn't exercise and I couldn't do some things that I normally would do to keep my body somewhat in shape in my going about. So as a result of that, after several weeks, and in fact months, my legs got to be fairly feeble. And I couldn't run, I couldn't walk like I normally would do. I couldn't do a lot of activities that I normally do. And that's a physical example of how we can react to God's chastening, in that our knees can become feeble. And then he says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest there be that which is turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let the Lord intervene. Let the Lord use these things to speak to you, to help you, to strengthen you, and to follow His precepts of what He wants to do. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Peace, holiness. No man can come unto God or see the Lord in his life unless we follow the peace that God would bring into our lives. In verse 15, he says, looking diligently lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root or bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Back in verse 2 of our chapter, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, the just are to live by faith. The just are to receive their strength by faith. In John chapter 5, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, with God. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, oh, foolish Galatians, do you think you're now made perfect by yourselves, by your actions, by your what you do, by your life? In the beginning, you were made perfect, you were made strong, you were given life through your faith. And right there is the beginning of our dealings with God. Whether it's these Jewish Christians, whether it's you and I, whether it's you as an individual before God, do you have faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has said, what he bestows, what he tells us concerning his Son? This morning we had the privilege to remember him in his own appointed way, to remember him with the emblems, to remember him that our beginning with God was through faith in what he had accomplished on Calvary's cross. If you've never come to that step, to that place where you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you haven't started even down the road that would take you to God's eternity. So looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. God's grace is to all men. God wants all men to be saved. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to understand that he gave his only begotten Son that you might have everlasting love. So when we look upon each other, when we look upon any man, they should not be with anything other than the grace of God. So there's two things that I think about in these portions, in these verses, that I would wish to stress, and I believe the apostle is stressing them himself to these Jewish Christians. Number one, have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? They had accepted the Lord. They professed to know him, even though they also practiced certain elements of Judaism. We'll talk more about that later. Number two, when we work and deal and live with each other, are we encouraging strength and grace in our dealings and in our practices with each other? Or do we have our own ideas that we're trying to go about? lest, he says, any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, thereby many might be defiled. If you do not have that faith in Christ and what he is offering you, that grace that he wants to present to you, if you're not looking to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, of our lives, of what we have to live before him, then truly it might be a difficult situation. You know, I was also thinking of the hands hanging down and the feeble knees and the straight paths. Sometimes when we have problems, we don't communicate openly with each other. Sometimes we don't communicate openly with ourselves as Christians. Sometimes we don't communicate openly with those round about us. We don't tell them concerning the love of Christ. And thereby, many can be defiled because they don't hear from us the word that they need to hear, the things that they need. So, some of these problems, some of these chastenings that the Lord will bring into our lives are difficult. But they're for our own good. They're for the good of those around us. They're for the good of doing what God wants us to do. And we should look at them in that vein. We should look at them in the vein of, okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Okay, Lord, what do you want? Not get disgruntled, not get feeble, not get retiring, not turning away from what God is trying to tell us, that the grace of God may be flowing freely between us and with those unsaved that are round about us. Now, the writer in the Hebrews has been talking a great deal about the faith of some that were outstanding examples of faith. And I wondered why it was that he turned so abruptly from that, telling us of their faith and their lives, to chastising us, if you will, and chastening us with the Word of God in our own lives. And I had two thoughts about that. First of all, life wasn't simple for them. We frequently talk about Noah and how he built the ark. We talk about Abraham and how he offered his son. There were times when they looked at their own lives, I'm sure, and it would have been easy for them to become discouraged. It would have been easy to wonder, why was God putting them through this chastening? But it was God used those times to strengthen them, to help them, to improve what the product that he wanted. So even though life was not always easy for them, God used them mightily. And their faith continued in what God wanted to do in their lives. And that faith is what bore them through the trials and the times and the temptations that they had in the fulfilling the outstanding faith that we read about in chapter 11. But then there is the verses 16 and 17. And it's about Esau. And certainly Esau was no great stalwart of faith. Certainly Esau turned, as it says here, lest there be any fornicator or profane person such as Esau, In other words, anybody that would turn against God, anybody that would be without any faith, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Later, he realized that one of the things he really wanted in this world was materialism and success. Later, when he saw that he would receive double the blessing, being the oldest son, that God would bless him doubly had he have that birthright to hold, he didn't have it. He was now, it was too late. He was rejected. He was turned against what he could have had. So the very thing he wanted was now not to be his, because he didn't have faith, because he didn't live the life that God had set out for him to live. It's interesting that this example, to me it's interesting, that this example is set in the very next chapter, after chapter 11, in which all of these men who through faith and through their lives doing what God wanted them to do were successful. And this one man, there was one star example, if you will, of how this one man turned away from what God wanted him to do, but then later he was rejected. He was not to get it. He never was to get it because he didn't have that faith. And though he sought it carefully, it says with tears, he didn't want, still, I believe, he still didn't want God in his life. He still didn't want to be required to follow the precepts of God. But he wanted that materialism. He wanted that thing which he had always wanted most. But it was not, it was denied him. He was not to receive it because of his lack of faith, because of what he had done in his earlier life. And so it is that we have an example here of one who, through lack of faith, is rejected from this thing. You know, that also concerns me. We read that God speaketh once, yea, twice, and man perceiveth it not. I'm sure that Esau was spoken to, but he didn't worry about it until he realized what he'd missed. Then he worried about it a great deal. Then apparently he even came to many tears and wanted what he could not any longer have. I think you and I need to keep this in mind if we're not saved. If we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we need to keep it in mind that God will speak to you and does speak to you and frequently speaks to you and more than once or twice, many times. But you better be careful about rejecting His offer of mercy, His offer of grace, His desire that through faith you might be saved. Because there may come a time when you will no longer have that opportunity to change and to accept Christ as your Savior. And then you'll be in the same quandary that Esau was in as he came there. And when God is dealing with us as Christians, I think we have to be careful as well. God is trying to deal with us. He's chastening us. He wants us to turn to Him in faith again and to look to Him for our strength, for our help. He wants us to, as it were, pick up our hands and follow him. He wants us to have strong legs and go in straight paths, such as he wants us to be in. But if we reject him, and it's so easy to do, it's so easy for you and for me to walk our lives in a way that we want to walk them, in a way that we want to go, and to reject maybe some opportunity or something that God wants us to do, and to turn aside from it. But we may really, in the end, suffer the consequences if we reject God's offer. And that is also a warning that the writer here is bringing to these Hebrew Christians, because they were turning aside. They had begun their life in faith, but they still wanted to go back to the law a little bit. They still wanted to go back and practice in the temples according to the way they used to. And that isn't what the apostle tells them God wanted them to do. And maybe you and I see God working in our lives, and we're willing to acknowledge that Christ is our Savior. We're willing to acknowledge that Christ died for us on the cross. But we still want to have our aspect of life, the things that we want in life to be able to be accomplished. The writer goes on to say, "For ye are not come unto the mount that may be touched, and the burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, the sound of a trumpet and the voice of the words, which voice they that heard entreated the word should be not spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so, as a beast touched a mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through a dart." It was so terrible at the sight that Moses said, "I fear, exceedingly fear and quake." You know, the Mount Sinai and the handing down of the law was a tremendous thing. It was a site where the earth quaked, the smoke rent, and the thing that came forth out of that mountain was not like what things are like in Sinai when they came. "But ye are come unto Mount Sinai, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the fathers, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling." That speak better things than that of Abel. You know, the contrast between Sinai and Zion are tremendous. And it would take another message probably to go into all the things that are in these verses. But the idea is that we have that bright and blessed hope of being with him. We have that bright and blessed privilege of having him as our God and as our Savior, the one mediator, the one who leads us in the way that God would have us to go. And when they were trying to mix the two, it's like water and oil. They were just night and day. They couldn't go back and do that they wanted to do and bring it into what Christ has. But we, as Christians, knowing, and they that knew and accepted Christ as their Savior, have the privilege of living before God, and we have the promises of God, and we have the privileges that He will afford us, and He tells us of that new day when we will be with Him for all eternity. See, then the final instructions and the final words that are given here in this portion: see that ye refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more that shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh in heaven. My friend, there is a tremendous contrast between those that accept the word of God and between those that turn to God in faith and those that live their life and those that can look forward to the time when they will be with him. You can't mix the two. You got to live by faith according to what God wants you to do. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but the new, also heaven, a new heaven and a new earth. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that were shaken, as of things that were made, those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and with godly fear. God wants us to follow him. God wants us to serve him. God is the one who sent his son to Calvary's cross. And it is through faith that we can be saved. It is through faith that we can live. It is through faith that we can turn to him for the future and for what God wants us to have. For our God is a consuming fire. He brought tremendous earthquakes. He brought heat and steam and flames in Mount Sinai. But in Mount Zion and in the future, God wants to deal with us in love and kindness as he has promised he will be able to do. And so we need to remember that he is the God of all, that he is a God who is a consuming fire, and his word is yea and amen. And if we reject it, if we turn from it, we can expect that his salvation will not visit us. Once we have accepted him, once we have received some of the chastening of this earth, and once we're walking in the way that we want to go, we look forward to that time when we will be with him for all eternity. This is a tremendous portion. It's a difficult portion. It's a portion that you need to read and study and think about. I would encourage you to do so. But let your hands be held up. Serve God. Let your feeble knees walk forth in the paths that God would have you to go, and make straight paths according to what God would have you to do. Let the chastening that he brings into your life be that would encourage you and help you to live a life for him. And if you're not saved, if you've never come by faith to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, that you might do so today, that you might turn to Him, that you might accept Him as your Savior, and realize that in all the things that He has promised to those of His own, He will give to you. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we do look to Thee for help and guidance, for strength. Our Father, we pray that we might be willing to serve Thee, that we might be willing to follow in the ways that Thou hast bidden us to go. And our Father, that we might live our lives so that others can see in us the Lord Jesus Christ, so that others can see in us how that God can help us and guide us and provide for us, and that they might realize that without Thee there is an eternity to be shunned, but with Thee there is an eternity to be gained. Guide and direct us, we pray, this day, in Jesus' blessed, worthy name. Amen.